You're listening to a podcast of APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio program. APA Compass airs at 9 a.m. on the first Friday of every month at www.kboo.fm, and our archives are downloadable at kboo.fm/APA Compass. Join our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio, or follow us on Twitter. If you'd like to contact us, we can be reached at apacompass@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for tuning into APA Compass this morning. I'm Sarika Mehta, and you're listening to a membership drive special of our show. Last Sunday evening, President Obama announced to the world that Navy SEALs had located and killed Osama bin Laden. Since then, the world has been focused on whether this news is true, issues surrounding the release of photographic proof, and what this means for Obama's presidential campaign. The news was also met with jubilation in the streets of New York City and Washington, D.C. Here at APA Compass, we're taking a different look at the issue. We're looking at how this news affects the local Muslim community, as well as the past decade's impact on Muslim Americans and non-Muslims' perceptions of Islam. Today, I'm joined by two Muslim American community members, Muna Abshir Mohammed and Afifa Ahmed Shafi. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's jump in. Almost a decade after September 11th, Osama bin Laden is dead. What was your reaction to the news?
Well, I remember I was reading a book at home Sunday evening, and I got a call from my two younger sisters who had put themselves on speakerphone and said, you know, do you have your TV on? I said, no. Should I? And they said, yes, you should turn on the news. There's some really incredible news that's on. And I said, well, is it bad? And, one of my sisters just said, just turn it on and you'll see for yourself. And I did. And I tuned into CNN and I saw breaking news. Osama bin Laden's dead. And immediately I could feel just a sense of relief. And the Muslim tradition is when you find out that someone has passed away, that you say, you know, may God have mercy on their soul. And I deliberately did not say that statement out loud because I don't feel that Osama is someone that represented Muslims or represented the ideals of Islam.
Thank you, Muna, for sharing that. And Afifa, do you have comments?
Yeah, similarly, in one way, it was completely a surreal moment for this many years later to have heard that, you know, and that he's a live person that has been killed versus this kind of lurking character who releases videos that we haven't been able to find, and, you know, all the propaganda that we've been hearing and then all the messages that Al-Qaeda sends out. And so on one hand, it was this, I think this great sigh of relief that, And a sense of hope that, you know, it does mean an end to some of the horrific acts that are being done in the name of Islam. On the other hand, of course, just I think accompanied with it some concern of, you know, what does this mean for our community? I think a great sense of fear, especially for Pakistani Americans, that he was found in Pakistan. So there's this relief accompanied by apprehension immediately afterward.
Sure, that's, I can understand that. A few days ago, threatening emails prompted the Islamic Society of Greater Portland to cancel an event on Pioneer Square that was meant to celebrate bin Laden's death. Were you both surprised that Muslims were being targeted after bin Laden's killing over a rally that supported the U.S. military strike?
Well, I think neither of us represent the Islamic Society of Greater Portland, but in terms of my own personal reaction, I definitely wasn't surprised. I think, you know, it seems like the Muslim community probably wanted to make a really clear statement that we shared the sentiment of relief that bin Laden had been killed. And at the same time, I think the scrutiny of Muslim American actions is something we've been facing since 9/11, so for many years, and so no surprise has come based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanna just sort of piggyback on that and say that, I mean, every day as a Muslim American, you go through experiences that are very regular. For instance, you know, you're at the airport and you're randomly picked for a search or whatever they want to call it. And that's something that's not going to change, unfortunately, I don't think. And I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being realistic when I say that. And I was just joking with Afifa at the coffee shop earlier this morning and saying, you know, well, this the death of Obama, of Osama bin Laden, doesn't mean that I can, you know, as a Muslim person, visibly Muslim woman, go on Burnside Bridge and just start randomly taking pictures, because that's something that is going to bring suspicion on me as a Muslim, and because I'm Muslim.
And that's what that's the experience you've had for the past 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, said that hate crimes against Muslims and people who were perceived as Muslims went up 1,600% after 9/11. So you can imagine, I mean, if you were basically a person of color in a post 9/11 climate, you really had to look over your shoulder. You really had to watch out. And a lot of people were sent home packing from their jobs, were denied housing. Little kids were teased and bullied and often harassed, not only by their classmates, but sometimes by their teachers or by security officers, because they were Muslim or perceived as Muslim. And after 9/11, we were sort of put in this, I think all Americans were sort of put between a rock and a hard place, where they sort of had to show that they were patriotic. They had to show that they were not going to express dissent, that they were going to go along with the people in power. And it was very, very unsettling to see that and to experience that and to live that.
That I think you're right. And that's what we've been seeing for the past 10 years, where it's uncomfortably in this state of, that's just how it's been, unfortunately. Do you feel that American Muslims' reactions to bin Laden's killing are under extra scrutiny?
I don't know if we're under, yes, we're under extra scrutiny, I think, but similarly, we've been under extra scrutiny for quite a while, I think. You know, as Mano was describing, our, you know, daily lives since 9/11 have been under scrutiny, you know, for my family members, my mom, for example, who wears the headscarf, you know, she constantly is thinking about, you know, which part of town is okay to go in and to be alone if she wants to do her daily prayers. She's concerned about, you know, where she's seen. She lives in Eastern Washington. When she drives from there to Portland, she doesn't want to stop on the way. So there's just, you know, that constant, I think that scrutiny has been consistent for a long time, and it's translated into a lot of stress for Muslim Americans. So I'm not surprised by the extra scrutiny.
Well, thank you for sharing your comments. We're going to take a break now for more membership drive related things, and I will send it back to our volunteers who are taking calls. Good morning, and thanks to those of you who have taken the time to become KBOO members this morning or renew your memberships. I'm Sarika Mehta, and this morning on APA Compass, we've been discussing how Osama bin Laden's death affects Muslim American communities. I'm speaking with two ladies. Joining me are Muna Abshir Mohammed and Afifa Ahmed Shafi, who are two Muslim American community members. We've been discussing your personal experiences in the past 10 years and the experiences of many Muslim Americans around the country after September 11th. Osama bin Laden was the face of Al-Qaeda for a long time, even before September 11th, and unfortunately, the majority of Americans have been misinformed into believing that he was also the face of Islam. Now that bin Laden is out of the picture, what can be done to break down those misconceptions about Islam?
Well, I want to say that since 9/11, those of us who are Muslims and allies of the Muslim community have been doing a lot of work to address some of those misconceptions and to address the growing anti-Muslim sentiment and what I call Islamophobia in the United States. And one of the things that I've been doing is putting together a workshop series titled Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Islam, But We're Afraid to Ask. And really what it is an opportunity for non-Muslims to come together and have a conversation with me and with each other in a safe environment, to have a dialogue about, well, what have you heard about Islam? What do you know about the tenets? What don't you know? What have you heard about Muslims? And one of the things that I do in creating the safe space is to tell everyone in the room that, you know, there's literally nothing that they can say to offend me. And I think that puts people at ease to begin with. I say, you know, every ugly thing you can think of, I've already heard it. So been there, done that, you know, bring it on. And a lot of people are put at ease by that. And I really encourage people to say what's on their mind and what's in their hearts. And it's actually been a huge success, and I've been doing a lot of presentations at the county, at the city level, and also statewide, and also with different nonprofit organizations. So if you're interested, call me and we'll work something out.
Is there a website where our listeners can get that information?
Yes, if you go to www.portlandonline.com/human relations, you can find my contact info.
Okay, great. Yes. That's fantastic, and that's really important to break down those barriers. I love that you tell them, nothing you can say will offend me. You know, I've heard it, and let's move on, and let's have greater understanding.
Absolutely. And what I also want to say in addition to that is I think a lot of people are just scared to say in mixed company, you know, well, this mm-hmm. is what I've heard about Muslims, or don't Muslims all believe this, or, you know, don't they think that, you know, Osama bin Laden, you know, and what he stands for is really, you know, justified in the Quran or by the teachings of Muhammad. And once they get over that fear, I think we're able to have a very courageous and honest conversation. But Afifa's also got something that's happening tonight.
Yes. Actually, tonight we have a workshop that Mona and I are helping host at Portland Community College's Cascade Campus. And it's being put on by a speaker from Georgetown University's Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding. And it starts tonight at 6:30 p.m. And then we also have a full-day workshop tomorrow. It's at, if you want more information, you can go to www.islamworkshops.org, and space is still available. So
that's great. So
and it's free.
And it's free. That's even better.
Yes.
It's free and public transportation accessible.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So we have a workshop tonight at 6:30 in the north side of Portland mm-hmm. at the Cascade Campus east side of PCC. And you can also check out Muna's work online at www.portlandonline.com/human relations.
Thank
great.
You.
Back to our questions, do you think bin Laden's death will translate into greater acceptance and less stereotyping of the Muslim community and Islam here in the U.S.?
I wish that could be true, but unfortunately, I don't think it's a clean break from the stereotyping that we've been experiencing over the last 10 years. Unfortunately, there's a lot more work to do, and in terms of how to do that, I think Muna talked about a lot of successful methods. I think, you know, the struggle continues, and it has to do with our foreign policy. It has to do with, you know, the perceptions of Muslim Americans around the world. So unfortunately, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also say that, I mean, if we look at what has happened so far in the Arab world and in the Middle East, and hopefully other parts of the world like Africa, where I come from, what we've seen is young people going to the streets and protesting and demonstrating peacefully and joining hands and closing ranks and asking for what is rightfully theirs from their leaders, and many of whom who have not been elected and who have been put into place forcibly through military coups, many of whom are supported by our government and against the will and the wishes of their own people. We didn't see any of those young people holding portraits of Osama bin Laden or, you know, reiterating some of his ideology around hate, around violence, around rage, around intolerance. You know, nothing about, you know, killing the infidels or anything like that. What we saw were people saying, you know, we are entitled to our human rights and we want them to be respected and we want to live in dignity and in peace with each other and with the rest of the world. So, if you ask me, Osama bin Laden, you know, was irrelevant, has been irrelevant for a mm-hmm. while now. And I think, history will do him justice and sort of, I think he will become a footnote, in what's going on in the world right now.
I hope so. I hope that, you know, those relations improve and that face changes. So actually that's a good segue into my next question. How would you describe the media coverage of Osama bin Laden's death, and are there issues you'd like to see addressed in the national conversation over this event?
Well, I think I said earlier, and Afifa said the same thing, that, you know, we felt collectively, the global Muslim community and others around the world, the brown and black portions of our blue planet, felt a collective sigh of relief that this guy's finally gone. We've gotten rid of this villain, this mass murderer who didn't stand for anything other than hatred and violence and intolerance. But, you know, beyond that, I really wish that the media would concentrate on, well, what are we going to do now in Afghanistan? How is our foreign policy going to change? Are we going to move in a mindful and meaningful direction that is more humane and more respectful of what is embodied in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? I want to know what's going to happen to, you know, for instance, the Afghani women and girls in particular. Are they going to have access to education? Are they going to have their freedom respected? When are we going to bring our troops home? And for me, those are very colossal and important questions that are sort of suspended in the air.
That's those are great points. Unfortunately, we're running low on time. So to wrap up, you know, we used to talk about living in a post 9/11 world, and now we're in a post Bin Laden world. So, in your opinions, ladies, what comes next?
I mean, one item if people aren't thinking about already, in terms of, you know, pausing to reflect on who Bin Laden was and how he got his start and how that relates to U.S. foreign policy, and looking back at what U.S. government's role was in that, it's a sobering reality. But I think it's really important that as U.S. citizens, Americans, we really take note of how we got to where we are today and what led to it and what responsibility we had in the matter. It's sobering, and we don't have enough time to explore it right now fully, but that would be my major thing.
Okay. Thank you so much for chatting with us. We've been speaking with Muna Abshir Muhammad and Afifa Ahmed Shafi, talking about reactions and sentiments towards Osama bin Laden's death as Muslim Americans in the community. Thank you again for joining us here on APA Compass. And now we're going to learn how you all can support the show some more.